They say time don't wash away all things. Some places, some wounds, they seep down deep into the dirt, lingering like a sickness that won't never heal. Blue Lick's battlefield is one of them places, where the ground was drunk on blood, where men's last breaths tangle with the wind, never finding rest. Folks claim the dead here don't lie quiet, that the past stirs in the darkness, shifting through the trees, watching from the edges of the world where the living ain't meant to see. On nights when the moon hides her face and the mist rolls in thick over the river, you might catch it, the sharp crack of a musket, the ragged shouts of men fighting a battle they already lost. There's a stillness that settles after, heavy as a stone on your chest, like the land itself is holding its breath, waiting for something that never comes. The spirits here don't fade, don't move on. They stay, tangled up in the place where their blood was spilled, their last cries swallowed by the trees. Blue Licks ain't just history. It's haunting, living and breathing in the wind, in the rustling leaves, in the chill that creeps up your spine when you swear you're being watched. But before we go talking about ghosts, you gotta understand the horror that put them here in the first place. Welcome to Kentucky Melody's Scary Stories from Kentucky, where we spin yarns about ghostly haints, creepy hollers, and spine-chilling legends from deep in the hills. So grab a chair, dim them lights, and let's dig into something spooky. The land, what folks now call Blue Licks Battlefield State Park, lay stretched out along the Licking River in what's now Robertson County, Kentucky. But long before musket balls tore through the air and bayonets cut deep into flesh, this place was old. Older than any settler, older than the war that soaked it in blood. The land itself had a memory whispered on the wind, held in the roots of the ancient trees. The Shawnee and Wyandot knew it well, held it sacred, a place where the great bison came in herds to lick at the salt rising from the earth. That salt kept the beast strong, fed their people, tied the land to life itself. That's how it got its name. Blue Licks, named for them pale salt stains on the earth, glistening like ghostly tracks in the moonlight. To the tribes, this place was more than just a hunting ground. It was a bridge between the living and the dead, where the spirits of the ancestors roamed just beyond the firelight, guiding hunters to their prey, whispering on the wind. But when white settlers pushed west, taking what weren't theirs, the land turned to something else entirely, a battlefield, a graveyard, a place where blood soaked deeper than the salt ever had. By the late 1700s, Kentucky was the edge of the world, a rough, untamed land where men lived by their rifles and died by their foolishness. The war back east may have been winding down, but out here, death still stalked the hills. British soldiers, backed by their Shawnee, Wyandot, and Delaware allies, weren't done fighting. They were defending what had always been theirs, and the settlers, stubborn as ever, refused to stop pushing deeper into land they had no rightful claim to. And then, on one cursed day in August, that land, that ancient, whispering land, watched as men tore each other apart, as gunpowder clouded the air, as bodies fell and bled out into the very soil they fought for. Blue Licks, once a place of bounty and spirit, became a slaughterhouse. On August 19th, 1782, under a scorching summer sun, the earth itself seemed to hold its breath, waiting for the slaughter to begin. A band of 50 British Rangers and near 300 native warriors, seasoned in the ways of war, had set a snare with the patience of a hunter watching his prey. They faked a retreat across the Licking River, their footsteps heavy in the mud, their backs turned just enough to tempt the Kentucky militia into giving chase. And, like deer running blind toward a hunter's blind, the Kentuckians took the bait. A group of 182 men, led by none other than Daniel Boone himself, charged forward, their hearts burning with the need for victory, or maybe vengeance. They crossed that river, mud sucking at their boots, never knowing they was running straight into the jaws of death. The trap snapped shut in an instant. The woods, so quiet just moments before, erupted with the thunder of war cries. From the trees, from the hills, from the very earth, warriors surged forward, cutting off every path of escape. It was a perfect ambush. The air filled with the crack of muskets, the deadly whistle of arrows, the sickening sound of tomahawks splitting skulls like ripe gourds. Men screamed, thrashed, fell where they stood. Some never even got a chance to reload. Daniel Boone, a man who had seen battle more times than he could count, knew the moment his men set foot on that field that they'd been played like a fiddle. He bellowed for a retreat, but it was too late. The Kentuckians were outnumbered nearly 2-1, the river now behind them, their escape choked off by a wall of death. Panic took hold. Men turned, scrambling for the water, hoping to outrun the steel and fire that closed in on them. But the river didn't offer no salvation. It became a graveyard. Musket balls tore through flesh. Scalps were taken before bodies even hit the ground. The lucky ones drowned. The unlucky ones, well, their fates were far worse. And then, amid the chaos, Boone's heart shattered. His son, Israel Boone, still barely a man, fell. Cut down right before his father's eyes. There weren't nothing Boone could do but watch as his boy crumpled to the ground, blood soaking into the dirt, joining the rivers of red already flowing across the field. When the bloodletting finally stopped, over 60 Kentuckians lay dead, their lifeless bodies scattered like broken corn stalks after a storm. The wounded were left behind, a fate worse than dying quick. Those who didn't bleed out were taken, tortured, their suffering stretched long into the night. The British and Native forces, they barely lost a handful of men. They packed up and vanished, leaving nothing behind but the echoes of screams and the stench of death. And in the eerie silence that followed, crows circled low, their black wings spread wide over the cursed land. Buzzards landed, their beady eyes fixed on the feast laid before them. The air, still thick with the burn of gunpowder, settled heavy over the battlefield. And just like that, Blue Licks was no longer just land. It was a tomb. Days later, when the air still carried the stench of blood and burnt powder, the survivors crept back onto the battlefield. They came slow, silent, as if afraid the earth itself might remember them and call their names. What they found was a butchered field of bones and ruin. The dead had not been left in peace. Bodies lay scattered, stripped of their gear, their clothes, even their dignity. Some had been mutilated, their flesh carved by the cruel hands of war. Others had been left to rot beneath the relentless summer sun, their faces unrecognizable, their hands curled tight like they were still reaching for something. Help, mercy, salvation that never came. There weren't no proper burials that day. No pine boxes, no prayers, just shovels digging into cursed soil, tossing the broken and the forgotten into a mass grave. Their names, once spoken with pride, now swallowed by the dirt, lost to time. And then the world moved on. The war ended. The frontier stretched further west, and new blood was spilled on new ground. Blue Licks became just another name in the long, bloody history of Kentucky. But those who walked the field claimed the land never did settle. Even when the trees grew back thick, even when the river ran quiet, there was something wrong about that place. A heaviness in the air, a silence that didn't feel like peace, but like holding your breath, like the earth itself was waiting. For reckoning, for vengeance, for something unfinished. The dead never left Blue Licks, and maybe they never will. Today, Blue Licks Battlefield State Park stands quiet, its rolling hills and whispering trees giving the illusion of peace. A solemn stone monument rises from the earth, its chiseled words honoring the men who fell here, their bones resting in a mass grave beneath the very soil they bled for. Folks come from near and far to walk the battlefield, trace the paths where musket fire once roared, where men screamed their last breath into the Kentucky sky. But not all visitors leave with just a history lesson. Some feel it the moment they step onto the land. A weight, a hush, a stillness that don't feel natural. Others see things out of the corner of their eye, shadows shifting where no man walks, figures standing among the trees, watching. And then there's the ones that hear it. The crack of a musket when there ain't no gun in sight. The low murmur of voices carried on the wind. The distant, gut-wrenching cries of men caught in their final, desperate moments. Some folks brush it off. Say it's the wind, the rustling leaves, their minds playing tricks. But others, they don't come back after dark. The battlefield at Blue Licks ain't just a place of history. It's a place where the past refuses to die. Over the years, paranormal investigators, history buffs, and even them folks who don't believe in nothing have walked these grounds, only to find themselves face to face with things that shouldn't be. Some nights, when the air is still and the trees don't dare rustle, the battle comes back to life. Visitors have stood in the middle of that field and heard it. The deep, distant rumble of war drums, the crack of musket fire ripping through the silence, the clash of steel meeting flesh. And then there's the screams, raw, desperate, the kind that ain't meant to be heard outside of war. Men begging for mercy, calling out names that been forgotten by time. Some folks hear their own names whispered on the wind, like something unseen is watching them, calling them closer. But when they turn, when they look around, the battlefield is empty. Step too close to the woods, and you might feel it, something lurking just beyond the tree line. Folks have sworn they've seen tall, silent figures in old-timey soldier garb watching from the dark. Some stand stiff, like they're waiting on orders that'll never come. Others move, just enough for you to catch a glimpse before they melt back into the night. One feller claimed he saw a soldier leaning against a tree, clenching his chest like he'd just been shot. The man tried to call out, tried to help. The soldier just stared, then faded like mist, leaving nothing but the smell of gunpowder in the air. Near the mass grave where the fallen were buried like forgotten cattle, the air is different. Some say the wind don't blow right there, that the air just sits heavy, waiting. More than one person has walked by and felt it, something cold, unseen, pressing against their skin. Some feel a tug on their clothes, like someone reaching out with hands that ain't been warm in centuries. Ghost hunters who've spent the night out there. Some of them left with scratches down their arms like something, or someone, tried to pull them back into the earth. Now, there's one ghost that don't belong to no soldier. Folks call her the Weeping Woman. She don't make a sound at first, but you'll see her kneeling near the mass grave, her head bowed, her body shaken with silent grief. She wears an old dress, something from the 1700s, and her hair falls loose over her face, hiding what's left of her sorrow. They say she lost her husband in the massacre, a man who never made it home. She came to find him all them years ago and never left. Step too close, and she'll lift her head just enough for you to see her eyes, empty, hollow, drowning in tears. Then, like a wisp of fog under the morning sun, she's gone. Blue Licks ain't just haunted. It's cursed, soaked in blood, held in the grip of souls that can't move on. The dead still walk here, trapped in the moment of their end, caught in a battle that'll never be won. And if you stand in that field after dark, they just might mistake you for one of them. Blue Licks Battlefield ain't just a patch of history folks read about in dusty books. It's a wound that never healed, a place where the earth still remembers the screams of the fallen. The men who died here didn't go quiet, didn't drift off into peace. They were ripped from this world in blood and fire, and some say, maybe all of them, never truly left. They're still out there, caught in the moment of their end, reliving that awful August day over and over again. The gunfire, the war cries, the feel of cold steel tearing into flesh, the desperate run for the river that never saved them. They say time don't move right here, that for some souls it just stopped. So if you ever find yourself standing out there after dark alone in that silent field where the dead still linger, and you hear the crunch of footsteps behind you, pray it's just the wind, because at Blue Licks, the dead do not walk alone. Now, I gotta ask y'all, what do you think? Do you believe the spirits of them fallen soldiers still haunt Blue Licks, trapped in the moment of their brutal end? Or do you think it's just the wind playing tricks, just echoes of the past carried on the breeze? And what about the weeping woman? Could she still be searching for the man she lost, or is she just a story told to keep folks from wandering too close to the mass grave? If you've ever been to Blue Licks Battlefield, have you felt it? That heavy stillness, like the air don't quite sit right? Maybe you've seen something moving in the trees. Maybe you've heard a voice when no one was there. Drop your thoughts in the comments. Do you believe the past still lingers, or are these just ghost stories? And if you were standing on that battlefield after dark, would you turn around if you heard footsteps behind you? I hope y'all enjoyed this tale of ghosts, blood, and unfinished reckoning out at Blue Licks. But don't wander too far just yet. Here at Kentucky Melody, we've got plenty more haunting stories waiting in the dark. If you dare, come on back for the next one. But be warned, the past don't let go easy, and some spirits don't take kindly to being forgotten. Until then, stay out of the shadows, listen close to the wind, and whatever you do, don't look back if you hear footsteps behind you. We'll see you in the next one, unless something else finds you first.